Welcome to the homily studio for Sunday the 30th of November, which is the first Sunday of the season of Advent, the first Sunday of the church's year. And normally I check just beforehand that we're all on the same page here in this conversation, that we have got the right readings and the right day. But the conversation was too lively about all kinds of other things for the last few minutes. So I have to check now. Are we all expecting to talk about the readings for the first Sunday of Advent? Just yes, please.
Yes. Yes, I think
Great.
so.
Great.
All
Oh,
good.
what a relief. What a relief. Who do we have in this conversation?
So I'm Alex Chia, and I'm here based in Christchurch. I work for the Bishop Partial Office, and I'm married with three children.
I am Rocio Figueroa. I am a theologian. I live in Auckland, and I work at the Catholic Theological College.
Hi, my name's John Kinder. I live in Perth in Western Australia, although I'm an old Invercargill boy who grew up in Palmerston North. And I used to teach Italian at the University of Western Australia, but now I live in splendid retirement.
I note, John, that you did say there you were from an Invercargill boy. You usually just say the Palmerston North bit, but I always encourage you to keep the South Island part there. And the other part of the lively conversation we had just before we began was that Rocio was a teacher of Alex. So your student, Alex, is.
That's
And
right.
a very good student.
You're meant to say there, Alex, but a very good
A
teacher.
very good, yes, a very good lecturer
It
for
doesn't
sure.
quite
I
work
was not
if
expecting
It
that
doesn't quite work if I have to prompt you to say it, Alex. You
though.
miss your opening line. Let's begin wherever you are listening in prayer. And remember, as I always say now, when we pray, we're not trying to twist the arm of God to do what we plan and what we want. We're simply relaxing into the divine intention for us and for those we love, and for our world. The divine intention, of course, is much more than we could ask or imagine or ever even think or dream of praying, what God wants for us and for those we love. So keeping in mind our own needs and the needs of those we love, we pray in the entrance antiphon. And of course, the significant thing about the entrance antiphon for this Sunday, of course, we can replace that with a hymn, but if we were to use the entrance antiphon for this Sunday, these would be the first words heard in the entire church's year in the liturgy. Psalm 24, it's taken from. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul, O my God. In you I have trusted. Let me not be put to shame, nor let my enemies exult over me, and let none who hope in you be put to shame. To you I lift up my soul, O God. Amen.
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 Okay, who's ready to begin this conversation? Rocio, you look quite eager there, quite ready. Go for it.
Have to say, I love this time of the year. I love Advent, and I love Christmas. So for me, it's very special to be here in this homily studio. And the gospel about awakening, about being prepared, made me think a lot about this Advent, how I will live, why, how I want to live this Advent. Because usually we think of the preparation for the second coming of Jesus, but also when we celebrate Christmas or the preparation for Christmas, I was thinking of this awakening, which is awake means to be present, and to be in the moment. So it's not just Advent is not just about the future, it's also about the present. Because I think that is a fact that when Jesus was born or when Jesus becomes flesh, it's not just a yes, it's not just a historical incarnation of Jesus. It's that God has said yes to our humanity, to our flesh, to the world, to the creation. So It is like a celebration of who we are. So I was thinking this Advent, I want to be awake. But awake not only in the fact of prepare for the second coming of Jesus, but awake for this gift of life, which is the now. So yes, so I have been, when I thought about this awakening for me, yeah, it's the first time I have seen awakening in another light. Yeah. When I was reading the lecture, the gospel.
What a beginning. Beat that, John Kinder.
Oh, that's wonderful. No, it just makes our job so easier to see or to follow on from that. It's I love the fact that Advent is in springtime in this part of the world. God obviously planned it to be in autumn, but because he decided to be born in the northern hemisphere. But perhaps we're perfecting the work of God. But the fact that it's spring and creation is coming back to life all around us. The year's beginning again, the cycle of life in the seasons is beginning again. And the idea of waking up is also in the second reading. And it's very direct. You know the time has come. You must wake up now. Else the night is almost over. It will be daylight soon. And as I think about, beginning a new year and beginning a new day, like it says here, the night's over, the one night is finished, the day's begun, a year has ended, the year is beginning. I love the entrance antiphon that John read to us because in many of those psalms, which sound as if they're all about, asking God for this, I lift up my soul, let me not be put to shame. But in the middle of that, the psalm and many of these psalms look back, in you I have trusted in the past. And that reminds me that as I look to this new springtime of Advent and a new year, I don't have to, as it were, I don't have to find reasons. I don't have to create reasons for hope or invent reasons why I should be hopeful. All I need to do is to look back, actually, look back at the way that the hand of God has been on my, God's kept his hand on my head, as it were, to keep me, mostly on the straight and narrow. But God has led me to this moment now with you three people in this conversation, in this place, in this time. And what God has done in my life up to this point, that can be like a rock of foundation for my hope in the future. I have trusted in the past. You have led me here, and therefore I know that you will not be let me be put to shame. You will fill me with hope.
Wow, I mean, there's so much in the what John and Rosie have shared. I think going back again, yeah, again, I love Advent, love Christmas. And I think that the readings for this coming Sunday sort of sets the tone for what Advent is, what the meaning of Advent, right? Which is it is this preparation for the second coming in some sense. But not only a preparation for the second coming, but really to see the second coming from the point of view of joy, from an aspect of joy, right? When we look at the first reading, we talk, the first reading, really talked about, that they will hammer their swords into plowshares, their spears into sickles. There's that sense where the second coming will be really a time of peace. This fullness of peace that, again, the psalm as well talk about peace and peace, not in a sense of the absence of war, but I'm sure in a biblical sense, like peace is really the presence of the fullness of life in some ways, right? The presence of wholeness, the presence of right relationship with God, and everything is it's right. And I think that there is that sometimes we have to remind ourselves of this joyful aspect of the second coming so that we can actually desire it. I remember I was just reading the Catechism the other day, and it talks about how Advent allow us to enter into the preparation of the first coming so that we can renew our desire for the second coming, right? So the second coming is something for us to be desired because it's something that should be joyful. There's an aspect of joy in it, which often is missed because often we talk about second coming is about judgment, and that's certainly true. But here I feel Advent is trying to help us to recover the joyful sins of the second coming, the joyful sins of Christ coming. Yeah.
Alex, I'm delighted that you've helped us to understand that joy, because I am quite sure that with this gospel reading, the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Beware, two will be working in the field, one will be taken, the other not. That a lot of homilies in the past have been about fear. Be ready because you do not know. But it is joy that is at the heart of it. And the joy is centered on the extraordinary difference. I'm going to use a big theological word here, the extraordinary difference the incarnation makes. Sometimes with groups, I say to people, especially younger people, how many parts does the Bible have? And of course, they'll all say two. And I'd say, okay, what was the moment between part one and part two, the Old Testament and New Testament? What is that moment? Well, it's the incarnation. It's the angel of the Lord declared to Mary. And that's the moment at which the direction of travel changes, because in the First Testament, people were working, praying to try to please and appease a God they perceived to be distant. The great signs of God were often the theophanies, in the sky, the signs of God, the rainbow, the storms, the clouds, the weather, the voice from the clouds. But in the incarnation, God came down from the heavens, not just to the top of the mountain to meet with the Holy Person, but into the nitty-gritty, the ordinary, messy reality of human existence became God's preferred place of living. My sense is that most Catholics don't believe in the incarnation in that way. That it means God is present not just back then, 2,000 years ago, this moment happened where God popped in for 33 years, but today. You emphasize today, Rocio, this is the moment, this is the time, this is why we need to be awake. Not because God's going to come and scare the hell out of us. No, that second coming's not like that. The second coming is we become awake to the fact that what makes us truly happy, when we feel truly alive, is when we live in relationship with the divine. Wow, that's the incarnation happening in me today. So that would be I'm jumping to take really, and I'm going to say it again later, but I would love people over these four Advent weeks to get ready, over these four Advent weeks to get ready to appreciate more deeply the presence of the divine, not in distant heavens, or when I am good, or when I'm keeping the commandments, or when I'm praying enough, but in the midst of the, I'm going to use the term nitty-gritty again, because perhaps it helps us to get it.
John, and I think with that you put together three things, no? We celebrate the first coming of Jesus when Jesus became flesh. The today when we incarnate Jesus in our lives, which is the advent of the presence of God in us, in our creation, in our world, and the second coming, what Alex was saying. So it is we celebrate Advent is everything. And I like Alex what you said about the joy because we have to remember also that the celebration of Advent and Christmas is actually very new because it just began in the 12th century. Before, everything was concentrated on the mystery of the passion of Jesus or the resurrection, the Easter, which also we see the homilies in the middle. It was about the suffering, like concentrated the salvation in the suffering of the Christ. Well, it's quite interesting how the Franciscans and Francis entered this input about celebrating Christmas and Advent. And I read something that I like because Francis said on Christmas Day, even the wolves should eat meat. Even the walls should eat meat. Every tree should be decorated with lights to show that it fills with light anyway. So it is the joy and the beauty of the incarnation. And we have to, Advent, we began preparing with our lights, with our candles, with our tree, with our decorations. So it is the beauty of the incarnation, of the coming of Jesus, the beauty of the presence of God within us now, as you said, in this messy reality. And that's why I want to live this Advent just with, really, I am prepared to live it with full of joy. And also, I would say that it's so good to be human. It's so good to be alive. It is because God became flesh. So it is just, as you say, not concentrating on the fear and the negative, but concentrate on the gift that we have in our just for being human, just for being able, and I don't know, and being able to incarnate Jesus, because in everything we can reveal the grace in our lives, in the different little gestures. So yeah,
Wow.
I am
Yeah.
really, really to this perspective, which is very the Eastern perspective of Advent, the incarnation from the continuous incarnation, like the eternal Christ in the principle of Christ in the universe, which continues. So yes.
Rocio, did you say that the quotation, "Even the wolves should eat meat and every tree should be lit," is Francis?
Francis,
Is
not the Pope, Francis of
Yes, Saint
Assisi.
Francis.
Saint Francis, the real Saint Francis of Assisi. Yeah. Saint Francis of Assisi, the Saint Francis of Assisi, not the Pope.
I see just last week Pope Leo went to Assisi last week. But
Yeah.
Rocio, can you send the quotes so we'll attach
Of
those?
course, of course. I will. I
Yeah,
will. I loved it.
that's right. Yeah, I do. I really like that sense of, going back to what you said earlier too, Rocio, about being awake to the fact that, the incarnation has happened, that we have the gift of the Holy Spirit. Like there's so much joy already to be experienced, in today, in our life today, right? And I think that we need to be awake to that, absolutely for sure. But also quite like this holding that, that the joy of the present time, but again also holding at the same time that there's this sense, like, because we know that the fullness of joy, yes, we have joy now, which gives us the foundation for our hope for the future, but also the sense that there's the fullness of joy in the second coming means that we can relax. We don't have to be anxious that we're not experiencing the fullness of joy now. You know what I mean? Like when we experience anxiety, when we experience worry, like we can just sort of relax. That's what life's supposed to be now. But we know of the hope that is not going to be in the future. Does it make sense? So they can sort of
Yeah,
hold that both
absolutely.
of joy
Absolutely.
we shouldn't experience now, but yet at the same time, we can be relaxed about things not always going perfectly now.
Absolutely.
The idea of relaxing, Alex, is a very helpful one. And some of this talk in the readings about staying awake and being ready and being good enough for the Lord coming can sound a little intimidating to me because I know I'm not good enough, you know. And I was talking to some friends recently, and we were trying to, we came to the understanding that we don't find it easy to talk about the presence of God in our lives because we think it's about God and me. What has God done to me? What have I done for God? And often we're just filled with our sense of, well, I'm not good enough, and how could God do anything with me? But the psalm in particular, and the readings, but the psalm, the response to the psalm helps me tremendously, and it's what we were saying with my friends the other day. It's not about me, it's about us. Let us go rejoicing to the house of the Lord. So I don't have to do it by myself. I don't even have to do it by myself, just me and God, because that might be too much for me. But the fact is that this God, who has taken flesh, is inviting me to belong to him and to belong to the community of people who
See?
belong to him.
Yeah.
So I'm not just belonging to a God in the clouds. I'm not even belonging to the man Jesus. That might be beyond my, but I've got people like today, it's you three. I have my friends, my family, and the church. But you know, the church comes to me through particular people, not just Pope Leo, but you. And if I really understand that I'm called to belong to Jesus in the community of the believers, then I can read that psalm and take great confidence. Let us go rejoicing to the house of the Lord. And the first reading and the second reading, seem to talk in the plural a lot. Let us do this, let us do this. So that takes the weight off me in a sense. I'm not alone in my relationship with God. I'm part of the presence of Jesus, which, because he said, when two or three are present, gather, I'll be present.
I love that thought, John. I think that's very, very powerful and actually central. Someone said to me once that we can only, if you know, this imaginary or fantastical meeting at the pearly gates, meeting St. Peter, meeting God, which of course a lot of people have, probably many of us a little bit in our minds. But imagine if whoever's there, the Lord is meeting himself. Sorry, you can only come in groups. Like it's you're not getting admitted one by one. You only come in groups. Ah, which group will I go and be part of? So that I no. Everyone who I've put in your path in your whole life is your group. Where are they all? You can only come in together.
Beautiful.
The person that's really pushing our buttons is part of our group, and I can't enter fully the reign of God until I'm happy to go and hand in hand, arm in arm with that person. Now, I hate this thought because there are some people who I'm not going to say I hope aren't in heaven, but I hope their heavenly apartment's a long way from mine. That's just how, but that's not like we are a communal people, particularly Catholics. Like, Rocio, you're ready to go there with thought.
Yeah, because actually, this is a cool conversation because it's expanding and expanding myself, the community, but I also would say the creation, the entire creation, because I think that it's quite interesting the fact when we talk about that is not about encounter about Jesus, but this encounter actually before Jesus. The world was created in the image of Jesus, in the image of the Christ. So everything has the imprint of the Christ. And there is something that Thomas Aquinas said to me that helped me a lot to understand that I am not the center. Not only, of course, I am not, we are like a human of the universe, because Thomas Aquinas says that God has a real personal a relationship with a creation. Apart where, and we do not mediate in that relationship. And I was absolutely amazed. So the relationship between God and the creatures who are not humans have a relationship that does not depend on us. And that showed me how, oh my goodness, sometimes we are so human-centric, you know, like
Yeah.
everything centers in us humans. When God has a particular connection and relation with the trees, with my cat, with the dog, with the moon, with the stars, with the world. And I said, and I think, well, it's also incarnate, Advent is also that. It's the presence of the Logos in all the creation. All of us, we are connected. So for me, it's like it's wider, broader, no? It's not just, as you say, a personal relationship. Is all of us are connected with a Christ.
Rocio, that's mind-blowing. That's absolutely for me.
Yeah.
But when you say it, I know it to be true. There's something in me that recognizes what you say as truth. And I've become so human-centric that I
Yeah.
think that
Yeah.
everything else is there for me to use how I like to help me. What you're saying is, no, every Aquinas, every particle, every atom, every tree, every has its own relationship with the divine.
And I was blew up also when I read it from Thomas Aquinas. I said, oh my goodness, what a guy. He got it.
So, what's your take home? If you were sharing on this first Sunday of the church year with a group that you know, or if you were, if the person you might hear preaching this week and said to you in the next day or two, tell me one thing I should say, what would you tell them?
Gosh, it's hard to boil it down to one, isn't it?
You can have two, John.
Oh, well, I would say to my friends, I would say, come on, let us go rejoicing to the house of the Lord. You might not feel like it, doesn't matter. Come with me and we'll go together rejoicing to the house of the Lord, because it'll be fine.
I'll go with for me, I think it's this theme of being awake. Being awake, being attentive, first of all, of the gift of joy that God is already offering us today. And in being awake to that fact also, then we can yearn for this deeper, greater joy that God is offering us at the end of time.
I will be with you also in the awakening, awaken to the divine presence, to the ongoing incarnation within ourselves in the world, and to just contemplate God's presence all over around us.
And I would go back to, I think if I was with the same congregation each Sunday of these 4 Advent weeks, I would be emphasizing in some way each Sunday the difference that the incarnation means, the change of direction. It's not us to God, it's God to us. And my mind's been really stretched by some of the points, right? Some of the wonderful points there. So I just want to encourage everyone to take these weeks as kind of like a 4 week retreat. Think of it as retreat, not retreat as in escaping from, but retreat as letting go of things that are superficial. I think of doom scrolling. What a great name for wasting time on your phone, doom scrolling. But to spend time aware of our own need, our capacity for a God who comes to us. There are great resources. Of course, I'm being totally biased saying the daily Food for Faith reflections begin again this week. That's the week before the first Sunday of Advent. Go to the website and I'll attach the link just to sign up so you'll receive those reflections. But I'm also aware of James Lyons, who is a priest of the Archdiocese Wellington, has prepared a little booklet. He's asked almost 40 people to write a reflection, and that's available, a great little booklet. I don't know its price, but it's a little booklet. It's going to be very affordable. But you'll get that through the through contact the Diocese of Wellington and search their website. But make the most of whatever resources are available. And again, we turn to prayer as we move to use this collect, this opening prayer for the first Sunday of Advent. I'm noticing one of my favorite lines. Grant your faithful, we pray, Almighty God, the resolve to run forth to meet your Christ. I love that, the running forth. So we're going to hear that as we pray together. Grant your faithful, we pray, Almighty God, the resolve to run forth to meet your Christ with righteous deeds at his coming, so that gathered at his right hand, we may be worthy to possess the heavenly kingdom through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever.
Amen.